Today, we are checking in with Ask UAS. There is a program coming up tomorrow night. Here to tell us more about that, we have Kathy Bowling and also Gary Freitag, who is the presenter. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria. Yes, I'm happy to be able to introduce Gary Freitag. He is going to be talking about seaweed farming in Alaska. That is tomorrow, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. And this is part of our Ask UAS where Ketchikan finds answers. It's the UAS Ketchikan lecture series that takes place in the campus library where everyone is welcome. So Gary is our professor of oceanography. He is actually out of UAF, but we claim him as our own.
Hi. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Good, yes, you are
from University of Alaska Fairbanks,
yes.
Employed, so to speak, but you're physically here, so
yes,
we
I'm
see
the,
you
I'm
all the time.
I'm the Marine Advisory Agent, which is part of the Alaska Sea Grant Program for the University of Alaska, and I'm actually a faculty member of the College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences there, professor.
Seaweed farming, it seems like it is getting more and more popular and more interest is out there.
There's a lot of interest, a tremendous amount of interest. The reason I decided on the topic for this Ask Alaska presentation is because I'm getting lots and lots of calls. What's about it? How do I do it? What's going on? And so as part of the Sea Grant program, I've had two grants that we're working on trying to develop at least the educational component and teach people what it's about, how it's going to happen, and those kind of things. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. I'll go through the individual things I'll cover here in a moment.
Okay. And you mentioned that people have just expressed interest in this. Is there much seaweed farming going on?
Oh, yeah, there's some. It's not tremendously large yet, but there's a tremendous amount of people that have seaweed farms going out there. And as part of our original grant, we were trying to diversify oyster farms. So a lot of the oyster farms have taken up the idea of adding seaweed to their permits, which is nothing more than a permit alteration, which makes it fairly easy for them to get started in it. And that's what we capitalized on, diversifying those farms so that if they had periods when, say, you had something like paralytic shellfish poisoning happening and they have to hold their oysters a little longer before they can sell them, they would have other product to go ahead and keep a capital flow going into their farms. And there's a tremendous amount of interest worldwide for this stuff, but we don't have the markets in Alaska is the problem.
That's
one of the bottlenecks.
Yeah, I was going to ask that is where are the markets?
The markets are very niche markets right now. For example, Barnacle Seafoods in Juneau is buying bull kelp from a farm here in Ketchikan, Trevor Sandy's farm at Hump Island there. I think it is out in Clover Pass. And he's raising some of the kelp. He was part of the original grant program, or at least associated with it. We bought gear for him and all that through the grant and got him started. And there's other people up and down the coast that are working. There's a large corporation in Kodiak that is attempting a commercial group that is trying to develop processing techniques and those kinds of things to build the market. The market is the real key that we need to work on right now, and that's part of this next grant I have. We're going to at least explore some of that in there. And then there's another one that's being proposed by Mike Steckel in Juneau that looks like it's got very high potential to help in the commercialization and making this industry go forward.
Are there certain species, if that's the correct word,
yes,
that are most marketable or popular?
Yes. Right now, you know, of course, the niche markets, the bull kelp, for example, that they're using in Barnacle in Juneau is more or less salsas and things like that and pickles and those kinds of things. And that's what subsistence people do around here. And then also, but the black seaweeds that the indigenous people here, the native communities really relish and everybody likes is nori. It's the same stuff you would buy for wrapping, sushi and those kind of things. They use that. That is a real high value and very desirable, but it's a very difficult species to to farm. And I'm going to explain a little bit of why that's the case tomorrow.
And I was thinking about that. Is it fairly easy to farm seaweed, or it depends on the species?
Some of them are. And I'll go through the techniques there. The life cycle of the, so, you know, we'd think, you know, it's a plant, you know, in the ocean. It should be really easy. You know, you just seed it and all that. That's not the way it works. It's really a complicated life cycle, way more complicated than land plants, as far as I can tell.
And you'll speak about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to mention it. I'm not going to go over real detail of the biology because it's some of it's above my head. The guy that really knows this is Dr. Mike Steckel of University of Alaska Southeast. Out of Juneau. He has really, really been doing this for a lot of years, decades. So he knows how to do this really well. I'm working with him.
I know with fish farming, people mm-hmm. are concerned about, you know, fish in the pens mm-hmm. and the disease and things like that. Are there concerns about that kind of things with, say, your oyster farms or your seaweed farms?
Well, I don't know about, I haven't heard of anything at this point. The difference is pretty, there's certainly concerns about the genetics because we don't know enough about the genetics of seaweeds and how they move around and how the spores get carried long distances, those things. So there is a very conservative approach to where these farms need to be put. In other words, they won't let you put them long distances away from where the original algae came from. And but there is very little other than the fact that seaweeds are a plant, therefore they suck carbon dioxide out of the ocean, which is a good thing because we are having ocean acidification problems with oysters and with all animals because they need the calcium carbonate, and the carbon dioxide makes it difficult for them to get that. And so we're seeing lots of, you know, mollusks having trouble, and native and farmed ones. Seaweed farming has the potential to help that. Now, these farms are not big enough to change the ocean, obviously, but localized areas may benefit greatly. They, in back east, they use algaes to clean some of the environment up because they have a tendency to take up the nutrients and trace metals and all those kinds of things very effectively.
Can you mentioned you have kind of a rundown of what you're going to go over tomorrow night. Can you mention that?
I can just tell you, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of how people have utilized seaweeds here, why we're doing this project, the Alaska potential. There's a tremendous potential here because we have a lot of clean, clear water. A little bit about the algae, the biology, and the difference between the different species that you have to grow and why it's not a simple matter of doing it. Talk a little bit about the techniques that you use in a farm, the commercial farming, a little bit about permitting, marketing, what's currently being done, and I'm going to be also talking about this next grant I'm doing, which will have a couple small pilot-scale farms here in Ketchikan as well as in Metlakatla. We're working with a native community over there, and we're going to attempt to teach people how to start these things, and they can use them for subsistence purposes because some of the black seaweeds are very difficult to get now. You have to travel farther and farther to get them, and we'd like to be able to provide, give them all the product that comes out of these farms they will be able to use for their subsistence and distribute to the communities. Ketchikan Indian Corporation, or community, is also working with me on that project.
Why is it that the black seaweed is harder and harder to come by? Is it harvested, or is it environmental?
Yeah, it's being harvested, I think, heavily. And it just gets more and more difficult to find. And I've had rumors of people having to go all the way out 50 miles away to find, to Cape Shacken, for example, and places like that to find it. It also is an algae that grows on a rather energetic coast, a lot of wave activity and current and those kinds of things. So it's not really common in places that doesn't have a lot of wave energy and things. So it's there's selected areas where it's possible to get it, and it's not everywhere. So that's why we want to farm it for them, and then they can, once they get the techniques, they can do that forever and ever, and and have an adequate supply for subsistence and usage.
It sounds like you'd need an energetic coast, though.
Yes, that could be a challenge. That's why we're working with Tamgus over in Tamgus Bay, probably.
To make sure it's safe,
There's a lot of current and a lot of wave activity, and it's more of an outside-type environment out there. And we'll probably be doing that. There's really no reason why it won't work in other places, but the species we're dealing with probably require a little more energy in the wave activity.
Okay, very interesting topic.
Yeah.
So again, that's coming up tomorrow night. Anything else you wanted to mention about this program?
Not really. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. Lots of slides and lots of pictures. And I'm going to keep it pretty general because I know the audience is probably not wanting to understand all the biology. And it gets, in fact, some of it escapes me. I'd have to be asking Mike Steckel if he's in the audience to respond.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you much.
You bet.
Anything you want to add again, Kathy?
No. We just thank you for letting us come by, and we encourage everyone to come out tomorrow night, 6:30, at the UAS Ketchikan Campus Library.
Okay. And again, that is Seaweed Farming in Alaska, presented by Gary Freitag.